are going to call this meeting of the Harvard Woodstock Enterprise Zone of April 20th, 2018 to order. And we do have a quorum. Mark Stricker, Larry Smith, Larry O'Connor by phone, and Mark Saladin. So the first item is approval of our minutes from our January 19th meeting.
So moved.
We have a motion by Larry, a second by Mark to approve those minutes. Is there any discussion? All in favor, say aye.
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 Thank you. All right, public comment. I see there are no members of the public here today for this exciting meeting of the Enterprise Zone, so we'll pass on the public comment. New business. I'll turn that over to Charlie.
Okay. Today, or at the latest on Monday, we are supposed to hear about from our governor about opportunity zones. I am cautiously optimistic that we will get three and possibly four census tracts that are at least partly in the enterprise zone as opportunity zones. The governor nominates, it then goes to U.S. Treasury, and there's no information as to what criteria, if any, they use to confirm opportunity zones or what time frame they use. The governor must, no later than the close of business today, nominate whatever census tracts he's choosing to nominate.
If he doesn't?
Well, then we don't get any.
Okay. It's either today or not, huh?
It's today or not, and it is presumed that he will. Are cautiously on. Look at what he can nominate is 25% of the qualifying census tracts in Illinois. And there are a little over 1,100 census tracts that qualify in Illinois, based on the Treasury's safe harbor map.
But does he have the sole right? Do you have to apply for that, though, for a certain area? I mean, or is he, you know, good question, right?
Yes. There are no answers on
okay. This.
Okay. Right. I mean,
I'm saying if out of that 1,100, only 100 applied, then is he going to, you know, appoint 25 of them?
The person at DCEO who was put in charge of this said there are no rules other than the map that the Treasury established. That the Treasury's guidance was that they don't know what they're doing. They have no rules, and the legislation provides them with no guidance. Except that...
Good plan.
Well, ordinarily, with a big new program like this, you don't get around to things like nominating them for a couple of years because Treasury takes some time and writes rules and so forth. But here, the legislation required that within 90 days that the governors of states and the chief executives of territories nominate. So there are no rules. The person at DCEO said, what I'd like you to do, all you have to do is send me census tracts that you would like to have that qualify according to the map, or if you don't want to use the map, give me your criteria on why you think they qualify. I used the map, needless to say, because it was the simple thing to do, and I don't
put a pretty picture in front of them, too.
Yeah, put a pretty picture in front of them. I supplied a bunch of other information that I thought was relevant, including a number of support letters. I was encouraged to do that by the person at DCEO because she says, we don't require anything, but sooner or later there will be rules at Treasury, and these are things we think Treasury will probably ask for when they think this through. So we did that. It is, I know a lot of downstate didn't do anything. And it's, and I also know that the city of Chicago put together a fancy report. The qualifying zones, we had three qualifying census tracts according to the map in McHenry County, and one additional census tract that is what's called a qualified contiguous tract, which doesn't qualify on its own, but is within 125% of a qualifying tract in terms of household income. And is contiguous to a qualifying tract. So we submitted for all four tracts. And something else that is up in the air, the legislation uses family income and household income apparently interchangeably. There are a bunch of places in the Internal Revenue Code where they mean different things. So whether they are in fact interchangeable.
Yeah, so just remind us, and for the record, you know, what the opportunity zone could entail if one is.
Well, it's huge. Yeah. It permits a person who has a capital gain to invest that gain in the zone without paying any tax on the capital gain. And you have.
Any capital gain?
Any capital gain. And the 1031 exchange, which has long been a staple of real estate, you can do that sort of, but in that case, you have to invest your initial investment, the total proceeds of the sale. Here, you only have to invest the gain. So if you bought something 10 years ago for $1 million and sold it for $2 million, the second million is all you have to invest. If you hold the new investment for at least 5 years, you get a discount on the capital gain realized over that 5 years in the zone. And if you hold it for more than 10 years, you pay no tax on the new gain. And all other programs like this have poverty relief or employment criteria. This has no such criteria. Now, so potentially you have double capital gain tax relief, so you may be making your investment with 70 cent dollars instead of 100 cent dollars because of the tax benefit. And at this moment, there are no quite criteria as to what you have to invest in the zone. I mean, apparently just buying a cornfield and letting a farmer grow corn on it works. However, the statute does provide that the Internal Revenue Service shall create appropriate rules and regulations, which they will in time do, but have not yet. The investment must be made through a qualified opportunity zone investment fund. What the statute says is a qualified opportunity zone investment fund is a fund which invests 90% of its proceeds of its capital in opportunity zones and is subject to such rules and regulations as the internal such appropriate rules and regulations as the Internal Revenue Service shall promulgate. Once again, there are no such rules and regulations existing yet, but there will be. I have been told that some very major players in the Republican Party have proposed sets of rules to the Internal Revenue Service, and I expect that they will be players in that, but we don't have them yet. I've also met with three different groups who are establishing funds, and they say that they are very worried about being able to find things to put the money in, because they have indications of tens of billions of dollars that want to be in such funds in each case.
So if I was the investor in your example that sold for that building for $2 million, and I got $1 million of capital gain, I've got to go to a fund?
Yes.
And put that $1 million into that fund, who's then going to invest in an opportunity zone?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so the people, hedge funds are creating these things, opportunity zone investment funds, and people like family offices and institutional investors, insurance companies, and so forth, who have huge gains, are already knowing they wish to invest in them. I mean, this looks like, while it's a wonderful benefit, it looks like it is a benefit for aimed at the very wealthy, very big player groups.
But so our advantage is, if we have one, there's going to be very much interest.
There could be a lot of money around,
yeah,
to invest in it.
Right.
And I think that as a practical matter, hi Garrett, we have a lot of opportunity, because I think that a lot of the other zones will be relatively unattractive.
Yeah.
In Chicago, on the south side and the west side, which all qualify, you not only have social issues, but you have old infrastructure that's in poor shape. You have soil contamination issues and things like that. And in southern Illinois, if you want to do something other than cornfield, there's no infrastructure for it. Most of the kind of players I think are going to be involved in this want some sort of active investment where they will make a profit.
Okay. Any questions on that? So Charlie will be waiting with bated breath for the announcement from the governor's office.
Yes. And and I'll let everybody know when, as soon as I know. And I am working with three different groups who are creating opportunity zone investment funds. They are enthusiastic, but probably there will not be significant investment until they find out what the rules are.
So, and just, Larry, just so you know, Garrett Anderson from the City of Woodstock has joined us now also.
Good morning.
Okay.
Thank you.
Let's move on then.
I had one more comment on that.
Yep.
The original deadline was March 20th, 21st, something like that, and then they pushed it, you know, by request of our governor until April. I did look at the website, and there are 18 states that already that did submit rather than extending, and their zones are already approved and listed on one of the websites already. It sounds like once the governor submits, it's a pretty easy turnaround just to have a look.
That's wonderful, because there were no rules set, and we didn't know whether Treasury was just going to approve or...
It appears that the first 18 states that it submitted were just instantly approved.
Well, that's wonderful.
So.
And, But, okay, anything else on that?
No, let's move on.
Okay. The city of Woodstock has proposed some tweaks to the enterprise zone. And really, I'm sorry Dave isn't here because I know the city of Harvard was considering whether they wanted some tweaks on their own behalf. I was looking for guidance from the board as to whether I should go ahead and do something, prepare an amendment. And my suggestion is that I start drafting amendment, and then as we go forward, we can think about whether there are things that the county wants. And what I would like to see the county do for their own benefit is the county has no criterion for what qualifies. And it is, since there is some land that is not incorporated, even though most likely it will be incorporated before anything is done, the county really should have some rules as to what qualifies if it turns out that somebody wants to do something outside the area. And then whether the city of Harvard has any tweaks it wishes to make to its end.
Yeah, and I'd like to move forward with that process, knowing that maybe the county may be a little more difficult to obtain. So, yeah, so I
they'll need some time to consider those.
Yeah, but I think Woodstock obviously has a clear understanding of what it's looking for the tweaks, and I don't know where Harvard's at, but you know, certainly we'd like to kind of, yeah, I understand because of the process, you'd like to have everything in one time.
Yeah. If possible, and yeah. I mean, we can do it. There is somebody now in charge of this in Springfield, which there really hasn't been for the last year and a half or so. And it's somebody who's actually been there almost a year now and is starting to know what she's doing. So I'm very encouraged there.
Charlie, is that something that you and I could meet together on and we could go over some of the criteria and put something together so I could put it in front of the powers to be?
Yeah, I've had a brief conversation on the subject with Pete, and he knows it's coming down the pike, but he wants elected officials to tell him what to do.
Yeah, well, maybe if you and I got together on that and got the process started, we could meet with Pete.
Wonderful.
Something like that.
I think that's exactly the way to do it.
Charlie, one of the proposed changes we want to do is look at what are the other taxing bodies and what are their interest, what is their interest in joining the enterprise zone?
Yeah.
How did the school district in Harvard handle that? They were not an official signatory to the IDA, were they?
No.
The IGA?
No.
So
they passed a resolution.
They just did it by resolution,
yeah.
And then it was described in the Harvard portion of the IGA.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I made a presentation to the school board, and they voted to do so.
We met with the D200 administration this past week, and they are interested in at least bringing it before their board, June.
Okay.
So that would be kind of the timeline for this change, is after they've agreed, we can describe that then in the IGA and make that an official change. But that gives us a couple of months now to look at the fire district and anybody else that might be.
Well, I've talked to the county, the college, and the conservation district, which are the other substantial taxing
yes.
bodies, and they have all said that if District 200 goes along, they will at least take it to their boards.
Excellent.
So, and then the fire districts, and the library districts, and the cemetery districts, we could. And
they're just dying to get in.
That's right.
Well, it's so little money, and I think the argument, either way, and I think that if we have the big ones We've got most of what we need, and we could make the argument to the little ones that this isn't really going to cost you anything, and it makes it look better if it's unanimous.
Well, yeah, and then if you get a nice new building on a piece of property, they're going to get a cut of the real estate taxes.
Right.
They just have to wait a few years.
Right.
We give a short-term incentive for something that's going to be there for 40 years.
But if it creates jobs, then you're getting other revenues and your homes built and people in the
airports.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There's other benefits rather than that deferred taxes.
Anything else on that, Charlie?
No.
Okay. And thank you, Larry, for agreeing to be with Charlie and get that. Next is the financials. Review and approve any bills. What do you got, Charlie?
Nothing.
All right.
I've handed out the check registers for the months of February and March. There's nothing out of the way or out of the ordinary in either month.
Okay.
It's 8 or 10 checks.
And just to confirm that we have approved the budget through the email process, correct?
Yes.
Okay, and you've got records of all of our votes? And,
yes.
Okay.
There are some outstanding bills, but checks haven't been cut on them yet. I will bring them around for signature when that happens, and at our next meeting, we will review anything. Coming up are the Enterprise Zone Association meeting, ICSC, the Illinois Economic Development Association's annual meeting, and I think one or two other brief trips. Next week, I'm having lunch with the two principals of the Vistria Group, who are one of the private equity groups creating an opportunity zone, and the one that I'm personally closest to, because the Kip Kirkpatrick, who was the co-principal, is somebody I've known since he was a boy. I think I will get more straight information, if you will. I mean, he'll tell me what he thinks, not what he thinks he should say. But the lunch also is going to include his colleague, Marty Nesbitt, who, just as a matter of curiosity, is the president of the Barack Obama Library Foundation, which I think will be an interesting conversation just for information on what that is. I have handed out, I don't have enough copies of this,
thanks.
I have been meeting with a guy by the name of Dave Havlick, who has a fund called 11 Million Acres. He is creating an Opportunity Zone fund as a second fund. He is sitting on $1 billion in cash. His focus is energy efficiency. And he says on any new project or retrofit, he will finance the energy efficiency 100% and guarantee a reduction in energy costs over the life of the project. He also, on a major project or new construction, can finance up to 25% of the total project. His financing is junior to the mortgage, so from a senior lender's perspective, it counts more or less as equity, and that he can do it cheaper generally than the primary lender. Any kind of energy improvement, so if, say, a project, 10% of the cost are the energy features, he can still finance 25% of it. And he's looking for projects to invest money in. He can do pretty much anything from a million up. And he can do anything to windows, insulation, solar, wind, geothermal, whatever, home energy generation, and energy conservation projects. It sounds to me like something that is quite interesting and might be a useful thing to help us market McHenry County. What I would like to suggest is that perhaps at our next meeting we invite him to make a formal presentation to us, because what I glean from this is probably very superficial compared to what he can tell you and answer on specific things.
And what's his angle exactly on this?
He's basically a finance guy, but he's a finance guy with a environmental engineering degree, so he focuses on energy efficient improvements. But he says that on something like pedigree ovens, even though it's a year old, he could come in and guarantee a reduction in energy cost, finance the whole thing, where the financing would, the payoff of the financing would cost less than the guaranteed cut in the energy expense. Hmm. And I presume that it's a bakery, it must use a lot of energy.
Well, and sure. Larry's been on the cutting edge of that.
Yes, I know.
OWC building in Woodstock.
Yeah. So I'm on the technical aspect of this, I'm probably out of my depth, this sounds to me like something that could be useful to the county to have as a resource.
If it's a zero risk proposition for business owners, they got to be, it's the bigger project. I mean, he's saying a million and up, but he comes in, does the work, and basically says, you know, I'm going to be paid from, you know, guaranteed energy savings as long as that's part of the deal, which makes it truly zero risk. Seems very, very win-win-win.
Yeah, well, I mean,
that's my thing. Where's the hook?
If the guarantee is based on current energy costs, if suddenly Commonwealth Edison cut its rate in half, I don't think the guarantee would do that. Would agree
sure.
to meet that, but still.
I don't think we're at risk of ComEd cutting their rates in half.
I don't think so either.
All right, Charlie, before you move on, let's just approve the bills from February and March, just so we have that on the record. So I entertain a motion.
So moved.
Mark, is there a second?
Yeah, a second.
Larry, any discussion? I'm going to just do a roll call. Mark?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Larry O'Connor?
Yep.
And I will vote yes. So we got unanimous on that. All right.
Okay.
So, Charlie, I think we're skipping down. So I'm going to get, is there anything on? Go ahead.
Just real quick. This 11 million acres guy, do you know if he would have interest in new construction as well?
Yes. New construction is his primary interest.
Okay, good. Yeah, We have a fairly long-running project, Project Aquarius, I've been working with that every year. So they're looking at a 25,000 square foot brand new facility, but they'd like to model it after Larry's building and be very green and very efficient and so forth. So they're looking at LEED certification as part of the deal, and I think this would be right up their alley.
Yeah, I don't know if you missed the message, but I called you because I wanted to talk to you privately about this as well.
Right.
And you also spoke to me about the potential for the die-cast site.
Yes.
And he can do that, too. I mean, he can do residential as well as commercial.
Okay. I'm assuming on the agenda that we have nothing really on forms, regulations, draft materials?
No.
No. Interactive map, nothing?
Nothing, no.
Website?
Nothing, no.
Okay. So I know you're kind of into the administrator's report, so let's jump down to that. And I know we talked about 11 million acres. What else you got?
We have two new active projects in Woodstock, Luster Leaf and the Trumpman Dams strip center in front of Farm and Fleet. We still have the Casey's in Woodstock upcoming. We have in Harvard Culver's that is expected to break ground in the next week or two, I'm told. And very likely shortly after that, a Burger King, which would be a retrofit of the building, and possibly a Dunkin' Donuts, and custom windows. Accents is talking at least about a substantial additional increase to their building size after the project they did last year. So that's what we have going. Motorola building, there's nothing new on the legal matter as far as I know. However, they have retained a Chicago broker to market the property. And as it happens, this is another guy who mowed my lawn.
Yeah, really?
Lots of people mowed my lawn over the years. Theron May, who is in his 30s and is an office building broker for Imperial Realty, which is a substantial brokerage in the city. And he apparently sold Mr. Gong an office building a number of years ago and has just got a contract to resell it at a profit, and was told, well, since you've done that for me, why don't you sell the Motorola building? The asking price of the Motorola building by Mr. Gong is $50 million. However, Theron has been told that he'll take 15. Theron feels that he can get 15 for it. The open question is, nobody knows whether Mr. Gong can deliver title or not. And it would be my presumption that as long as the funds were escrowed, that the Canadian government would go along. There are at least three groups that have expressed some significant interest in the property recently. And I know that Theron is working with them. Two of them are real companies that can afford to do this. The third, I don't know. Farming proposal out of New York, and whether they have the financing to do a deal of this size at this kind of a price, I don't have the slightest idea. And I don't have any judgment on whether the other two are really serious. I just know that they're real companies who, if they wish to, could. could do this transaction, assuming title can be delivered. So,
okay.
That's that. There are a number of other possible projects. Just in the last few days, I've met with some county and state officials who have been talking about the possibility of a fiber optic loop going, it's right now here, but going up to Harvard and then back down 23 to 90, and that would involve the project, the interchange project at 23 and 90, and would involve county funds, state funds, and maybe some federal funds as well as a local fund, but that could make parts of the enterprise zone more attractive and actually make the whole west half of the county much more brightly lit with with internet pipe capacity if something like this could be accomplished. And that really is my report.
Okay, and just did you get checks from Woodstock and Harvard for the new budget? Or getting checks? Or
I presume I need checks.
Yeah, what? Remind us, we reduced it, right, for
yes.
this year? And so what are the what's the amounts for Woodstock and Harvard? We've got a total of 40,000, I think.
Yeah, I think that Harvard was 16,000 and Woodstock was 24.
That sounds right.
I'm sure Roscoe will be happy.
Yeah, he was pleased with it.
Yeah, good. All right. Any other issues?
Oh, and we have received from the two projects in Woodstock, we have received almost $5,000 in fees.
That's awesome.
Moving in the right direction.
All right, just a question maybe for Garrett and for Charlie. Just, you know, kind of moving forward, now that there's some momentum, you know, and there's projects that are happening, what would you like to see from the Enterprise Zone? Marketing-wise or, you know, anything that we need to be aware of or that we should be doing to help?
Always better marketing. More marketing is great. Just awareness of Woodstock and Harvard in the broader community, and the fact that we're willing to work with people and we're a good place to be and invest. So you know, I feel there's a couple layers of marketing. There's just general awareness, and then there's kind of getting to more targeted specific things. I believe the county, both in the three county plan, you know, I forget what the name of it is, but the one for Boone and Winnebago and McHenry, both that one and I think in our some of our more specific plans, we have some target industries out there. So perhaps just as a to-do list thing, starting to work on more targeted marketing, getting into, you know, some specific industries.
Okay.
I don't know if that means trade publications or websites or I don't know what that looks like yet, but I could see that as a future thing.
Yeah.
And Garrett, would you like to meet with this guy?
Definitely.
Okay. Why don't you shoot me some dates that work for you, probably not next week, but the following week and the week after that, and then I'll get together with them, and the three of us can get together, or however many people you want from the city.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else for the good of our cause? If not, I'd entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Larry, is there a second?
Seconded.
Yeah, Larry, thank you. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? All right, thank you all very much. Thanks, Larry O'Connor.
It's the same. Yeah.
the other businesses will differ.
Have a good weekend, everybody.
All right, you too.
You too.
Bye.
For that opportunity, so we'll be good for